all of our baseball coverage is presented by T-Mobile. Check them out at T-Mobile.com/switch because they will save you money against AT&T and Verizon. Toby, hit it. Baseball update.
Yeah, I'll give you this, JP. I was out at Camden Yards on Tuesday. You'll appreciate
it. Oh, you went.
I went to the game.
Best press box in the majors.
I didn't go as a – I went as a fan. I went as a fan. Shout out to my guy Craig Heist for hooking me up with some tickets. And
Heister?
I feel like – Heisty. I feel like a kid every time I walk into Camden Yards, JP. Every time I walk into Nats Park, it's exciting. It's a baseball game. You know, you're excited to watch the team play. But every time I walk into Camden Yards, I feel like I'm a 10-year-old kid again because it just feels different. And so – not to say that I don't dislike Nats Park, but there's no park better than Camden Yards. And it was awesome to watch a game out there, and it was cool to see the first matchup between James Wood and Jackson Holliday. They got the win on Tuesday, and then the O's won last night, so ends up being a split of the season series. But it's always great to go up to Baltimore and check out Camden Yards.
So they just couldn't get their bats going last night, that's all it was?
Yeah, and DJ Hurst looked solid last night, which is fun. He's a guy that's one of my favorite pitchers to watch at this point. Mackenzie Gore has been really disappointing recently. He's been one of my guys to watch. But DJ Hurst last night, he just goes out there and competes, and you don't know exactly which kind of DJ Hurst you're going to get that day, whether he's going to be able to find the strike zone or not. But last night he was able to fill it up. His big thing is he's got to get a third pitch to lefties, I think. You know, he's got a nasty changeup, which is his best pitch, and so he throws that exclusively to righties, and so he has better numbers against righties as a left-handed pitcher. I think he's got to find a third pitch against lefties. You saw an at-bat against Gunnar Henderson, and he kind of knew he was either getting a fastball or a slider, so he was kind of able to foul some stuff off and end up taking advantage of the at-bat. But I think overall DJ looked good. The bats just went cold, and I think you're going to see a lot of that. But Andres Chaparro made
him. Yeah, my guy Chaparro.
He made
Who'd they trade him for?
Dylan Floro. And that was a deal. I can't remember what's the deadline, 3 or 4 o'clock? That was a deal that the Diamondbacks general manager said they got across the finish line with like a minute to go. Like they,
wow.
You have to have like the receipt from an email like accepting the trade at a certain time at the top of the hour, and I think he got that email from Rizzo at the top of the hour. So that was something.
That's one that might have just been a text, too.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even have time for the email.
Yeah, and so that was a last-minute deal. I think they wanted to deal Floro all along, and Chaparro with a heck of a debut on Tuesday night with three doubles, and he's going to provide some power. We'll see what he ultimately gives the team, but I think they're going to continue trying out these various guys at the corner positions on the infield, whether it's Chaparro, they got Tana, who's injured right now, but they got him in the Lane Thomas deal, so they're going to keep trying things because Lipscomb wasn't really cutting it either.
Kind of going forward for Nats fans, we're looking at next year, right?
Yeah.
I've heard Dylan Cruz is really starting to rake in AAA. I know he had a bomb the other night. What are the chances we see him next month at Nats Park?
I think they're pretty good. I think we haven't seen Cruz go on a dominant stretch. Maybe this is his dominant stretch. He's homered, I believe, three of his last four games or something along those lines. So he started to get things going a little bit more, but he hasn't really struggled. Early on, he was a little bit slower out of the gates than you'd like, but it was never a huge slump. And ever since he's kind of gotten out of that early season struggle of just getting into the flow of the season, he's been basically the same player, it seems like, in AA and now into AAA. So I think you'll see him in September. I think it makes sense to get him some time just to get adjusted, and they're going to try and do it, you know, in September to keep him rookie eligible for the new pick promotion thing so that he'll be rookie eligible next season. And if he wins Rookie of the Year next year,
sure,
they get an extra pick. So I think that's
cool.
Something they'll try to do. But, yeah, I think I would say 70% chance that you see Dylan Cruz at some point in September.
I like that.
They're going against the Phillies the next four games here. What do you predict?
The Phillies winning 3 of 4? Is that bad? The Phillies haven't been playing the best baseball either, but, you know, the Nats, I think their big thing was pitching. We talked about this when they were supposedly competing for a wild card spot, even though I think we all knew that was smoke and mirrors. Like, the pitching has kind of hit a wall for a lot of these guys. And, you know, like I said, Hurst has pitched well from time to time. Parker struggled and then pitched well. But I think these young guys that are going through it for the first or the second time, even Jake Irvin in there, it's just kind of hitting a wall because it's so different going 162 games every fifth day. So these guys, it's new to them, and they're kind of hitting a little bit of a wall. Whereas, I mean, tonight you're going up against Zach Wheeler, who's one of the best pitchers in baseball. So I think they'll give it their best, but there's just not enough offensively, and then the pitching has kind of hit a little bit of a wall. So it's just, I think it's just going to be about surviving the last month and a half of the season.
When Cruz comes up, Young's, what's that outfield look like? Because Young, to me, is a part of this thing going forward in center.
Yeah, to me, Jacob Young could very well win the Gold Glove in center field.
It's
him and Ciani in center field, the Cardinals center fielder for who wins Gold Glove. So I think the thought process going into the year was that JY would be the fourth outfielder in the future and then Cruz would play center. And now that, like you said, JY's been so good and he's batting ninth in the lineup. So it's not like you need him to be a huge impact at the plate when he's playing Gold Glove center field. I think Cruz ends up playing right field, or they'll move Wood to right field and Cruz in left. I think either way, those guys are going to play the corners because JY is just too good in center.
Last one, and be quick. All of a sudden, they got a fireball minor league pitcher. Sayorka? What's the kid's name?
Sikora.
Where is he? Get me up to speed. Because this guy seems all – there's nothing – I mean, you guys hear me. I watch Skeens every time I can. Like, I love young fireballers.
Yeah, Sikora is a kid who was 6'6". He was drafted in the third round in last year's draft, the 23 draft. He was a high school kid out of Round Rock, Texas. His favorite pitcher is – Nolan Ryan. So if that doesn't give you a little bit of an idea of who he is, but he threw 100, I think he said, like his sophomore year of high school, because someone made him mad. And so I would take the over on 6'6", by the way, but he's someone that was drafted in the third round.
Hell, he could still be growing. Is he 20 years old?
When Grant and I talked to him down in spring training, I think he's more like 6'8 than 6'6 at this point.
Wow.
But, they drafted him in the third round, and he was a first-round talent, but, you know, with baseball and their signability issues,
yeah,
he ended up going in the third. He said he was always going to sign, so I think there was a miscommunication there with his agent, but the Nationals get lucky, and this is a kid that he had a decent outing yesterday, I believe it was, but before that, he went 11 innings in back-to-back starts, no hits, one walk, and, like, 20 strikeouts, like,
damn.
In A-ball. So I think it's still going to be a bit before you see him wearing the curly W here at Nats Park, but he might be, alongside a guy like Gore, one of the guys that is an ace type that has that sort of potential. So I'm excited to see how he keeps developing.
Yeah. All right, Toby, if people want more content, they can listen to the Busting Loose Nats podcast via the Odyssey app.